These men, they're not the sort we need.
They're exactly the sort we need. They fought this kind of war before.
What about me? Am I one of that sort?
Hell no. You're the sort that gives that sort a bad name.
This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God or freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. It was purchased with the blood of patriots, consecrated for liberty, protected through the generations. Now the future rests with me. This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God or freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. Who will answer cry for warriors? Who will be there the battle line? Who will lift up a prayer for courage? Who will bury me if I die? This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God or freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. If I should die, watch your shed no tears for me. I will be among the angels who've given all to keep all free. This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God. Freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground.
Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Wilco Radio, Brazoria, County, Texas, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast, Will, with sacred ground, because this is going to be a normal broadcast. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and And listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and then the pound sign. Well, it's currently 59 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 72 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And another nice fall day. You know that we received the unbelievable news yesterday that Don Betcher, Yankee D, he died. It was a cancer, I guess, he'd been fighting for a while that we didn't really know, us out here and didn't know about for until just recently. But Mark Kornke was there with him, and a lot of people there were there with him when he passed. And today, Mark requested that all the people that cared about him, we get up and talk about him today and what he meant to us. Well, we left the Liberty Tree Radio. It was because of a thing between Don and myself. The misunderstanding of all misunderstandings, I suppose, but it was nonetheless what it was. It was, the later on, how to continue. When Don Betcher came on the air, I mean, Don has been a hero of mine. He'd been a hero of mine. I would not be here. From the Trenches would not be here. If it were not for this broadcast, none of this would be here. If it weren't for Mark Kornke and Don Betcher. And, the way we have to communicate, because I've never spoken to Mark Kornke on the telephone. I've never spoken to him in person. The only way I've ever communicated with Mark is over the radio, over broadcasts, over his broadcast for so many years, and then over my own broadcast for so many years. But the fact is, many people, I've contacted me and said, man, I wish that you and, they always say, Joe McNeil and Mark Kornke could just sit down and talk. Well, that's an impossibility. I mean, in first place, I don't know that Mark Kornke even wants to talk to me. He's never indicated that he did. But the conflicts that you see, if there was something in operation that I saw as real, something that I couldn't know about. And I mean, my dad, one of the things he talked about when I was a child growing up, man, one of the things, keep your mouth shut and never tell anybody anything they don't need to know about anything you're doing. And I would never want to be the one that fucked something up, that was in progress. But there, I do know what I'm talking about. I mean, I've paid my dues, so to speak. And I've worked hard to understand. And I don't know what's going on. And I don't know nothing about it. That's the way I really wanted it. Because every time I've seen, organizations put together with a leadership structure, they've been infiltrated or attacked, like what happened with the Hatari militia. And so when all I can do, see, this is man, when we lost Spike, we lost, man, more than you guys will ever know. Spike was, he did. He talked to Mark. He could talk to Mark anytime he wanted to. And Spike and I talked all the time. So what I was trying to project from the Trenches and why I was projecting what I was projecting from the Trenches, Spike knew. And then he loved Mark Kornke, and you better know he loved Don Betcher. And so it was, he was like, at one time he even yelled at me about it, because I'm caught in between, he said. But this is the only way I see that I can do this. I'm a poor man. I don't have the means to travel or do anything, man. I just barely keep a roof over my head and food in my stomach. But when the thing happened with Don, when Don Betcher came, that was a rebuke from somebody that, man, I held as an idol. And he made it clear he did not want to talk to me. He named me enemy. Said he did not want to talk to me. And that cut me, man. That hurt. And the only way I could respond is the only way I know how to respond is through the law. You know, I put out a document just to show that, hey, God damn it, this is the law. I mean, this is what I'm talking about, trying to say it that way. And it was a couple of months later, after everything, there was a lot of hullabaloo, as you guys all know. But Don called me. And again, I cannot tell you the content of the conversation. My mind is, after I just got through doing the mandamus and everything, my mind is just, it's a blit. It's in FUBAR. But at the end of the conversation, I told Don I loved him. He told me he loved me, and we're brothers. And that's the way every conversation has always ended with me and Don. Anytime there was any kind of, you know, riff, Don would always call. And Don and I always ended up where we're brothers. And he taught me so much. He taught a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize the things that Don Betcher taught. I mean, I'd hear somebody come on and say, oh, you're talking about, you know, this or that. He always, I mean, if you would listen to him and hear him out, Don Betcher, man, I mean, if you couldn't understand where he was going and why he was saying what he was saying, the fault's your own. Because you lack the intelligence to understand what he was saying. But so much like when my boys, you know, got to the age where, you know, they're getting their own rifle, they're going out, you know, they're leaving home. But, you know, they, of course, they're into guns. They grew up with guns, and they're getting their own guns, and they're into that long shot, you know. And then I had a reloader that was militia property. And since the militia here had, you know, turned to shit, and it had become something that it wasn't supposed to be, so I had to get rid of it. I turned the reloader over to them boys, and I said, you guys, and they'd all bought different caliber rifles and what might have you. And it had been since, shit, when I was a kid, man, that's what I did for years. Every day after school, I reloaded shells, you know, different shells, you know, 243, 30-06, 38, 44 Magnum. And, man, I knew it like the back of my hand, but that had been 30 years, you know, 30 years, a long time. And, you know, it's easy. I mean, I had the reloading manuals. You can go in there and you can look at the loads and what's offered in different powders and stuff. But there's always a load that's more accurate. I mean, we loaded the most accurate rounds, I mean, that could load. I mean, you can load up a real hot shell that, you know, it'll travel faster, but it's not as accurate. And then different powders and, you know, the things like that. So, of course, I called Don, and, you know, I about each caliber the boys was working with, and what was the most accurate round. And Don always had the time, and I'm telling you guys know this whole program's just going to be, if you want to come up and talk about Don, we'll play a little music. This is what everybody's been doing all day. This is what Mark requested. But at any rate, you know, so, he I mean, any question I ever had about a gun, He you ended the conversation. Don wouldn't say, well, I got to go, or I got to go do this. He wouldn't stop until he was satisfied that you understood exactly what he was telling you. And he knew his shit. Make no mistake about it. So when I tell you that our people's ability to fight, what he gave to that, I mean, the night vision thing, I mean, there were, I've seen the comments about, you know, he's trying to make bucks about it. I'll tell you people something. This fucking war that we're going into, you can't, You think you can imagine it. You cannot. This is going to go down in the annals of the history as one of the most ugly, horrific things that ever happened. And the information that Don gave freely is going to save a lot of people's lives. I mean, the little things, if you listen to him, all the years that Mark was in prison, I mean, I listened to Don every day. I mean, Laura knows. His voice was the calmest. I mean, I'd lay on the couch, man, he'd be doing 2 hours, you know. And the subject matter was awesome, and I'm listening to it. But his voice was like, you know, like your mother reading a book to you and put me to sleep. And I wake back up and I listen a while longer and it put me to sleep. And Don had a calm voice. He had a calm manner about him. I mean, if he got excited at all, which is, again, why that cut me like a knife. If he got excited at all or upset about something, man, he was, it was real. And I would say that was my only regret that I've had since anything I've ever done in the Patriot program. But if I could only have called him and talked to him, you know, it just, I struck out maybe I wanted to hurt back, but you know, it's something that passed and it's something that was in the past and it's signed, in the end, Don was just like, he was the same Don to me. He was my hero. Now, there have been the issues that we've, like I've talked about here, we've had to bring up. The thing about, this Christian theocracy. Now, that didn't come from Don. That came from Pastor Brooks. That was a broadcast on Liberty Tree Radio. I played it. And then it comes from Joe McNeil. Joe McNeil talks about, you know, Christians gather here, Christians. We have fucking got to stop this, and we have to stop it now. Forget about the personal beliefs. They're protected by the first article. We have to come together as a fucking people, and our enemies are all around us. Just the notion of talk, like I was talking earlier about, you know, somebody saying, several people saying, I wish you guys could just sit down and talk. You know, that's not as easy a thing as you might think. Now, I'll say it right now on this radio. Mark Kornke, if he came to my home, he would be welcomed in and treated like family. But we couldn't talk about nothing here. I've been told straight up by one of the corporate enforcers with the union badge, we know when you leave your house and when you return. You're followed everywhere. If I want to talk to somebody and I want something I don't want heard, nobody else to hear, you know what I got to do? This is the procedure, because I don't have a network here around me. This is just Henry up in here in the fucking mountains talking to you. This is the procedure. You empty everything out of your fucking pockets. You take a pistol. Each person takes a pistol. I mean, the two people going to talk take a pistol. And I get in my pickup, and I drive, and I haven't even decided where I'm going yet. And I've never went to the same place twice. But as I'm going through town, I decide. That's when I make my decision. I'm going this way. Straight up into the mountains. And then off on a logging spur. And then when we get to the bushes where no fucking buddy could possibly be, then we get out of the rig, and we walk about 200 yards into the woods. Then we stand by a tree and we whisper to one another. And then we exchange the information and decide if anybody else needs to know. And it will be agreed upon or nobody else will know. But, I would give, shit, I'd give anything to been able to sit down at a table and talk to Don Boettcher all day long. I would argue with him until I was blue in the face. And in the end, we would have come to an agreement. Same with Mark Kornke. And I believe even Joe McNeil. There's just certain things these people do not understand about a different segment of the people that have been affected by this. And our determination. And our determination that, you know, Mark talked about passing the baton. Sure enough, Don is dead. And his responsibilities have to be passed on. I mean, somebody else has got to take up the slack. But for too many generations, this hasn't been taken care of. It's been a problem for God Almighty since 1868. Generation after generation, 1933, they took our right to own property. Just came out and kept plugging more of it in. And the only way that I hear Mark, you know, like with the voting thing. That is just unacceptable to me. I mean, I only speak for myself. Like I said, I'm not claiming to be nobody's leader. I speak for myself, but I think that there's a whole hell, goddamn, the millions that agree with what I'm saying. It has become intolerable. I will not allow no more violations of my Bill of Rights. It's my duty as an American national to stand and die for that Bill of Rights, to defend it, to not allow it to be breached in any way. Now, Mark did mention, you know, like this platform. I don't understand that, and maybe I can never understand it. Maybe it's something that, you know, it's like I said, that they whisper out in the woods about. But I have to make clear my stance, the stance of the American national, the people who have been ground under heel by this shit, who have been made poor, who have been made penniless, who have been made paupers, who are mistreated every day. Because you better believe that we have equal, absolute right to attack this any way we see fit. If I can't just ascertain what you're up to, when you start talking about voting, forget it, that's over. Now, I mean, the last time I talked to Don Boettcher, he called me on the phone and he said, it was Don's, you know, his greeting. Hello, you know, this is Don. And how are you today, Don? He goes, do you want to talk politics? And I go, no. He goes, and then I'm okay. I mean, that's how he was a flat, cool dude. But he something wrong with his knee. You know, he had an appointment that he had to get to. So he wasn't going to make the hour. And I mean, why he chose me, I don't know. But he did. And he said, "Will you go up and do my hour with Mark?" And I said, I could never tell Don no. I said, "Yeah, I will." And the damnedest thing is that's the day that I took the intel report down from the Patriot broadcast because of the vote thing. And so the first thing when I come on the air, Mark comes on and he's suspecting Don to say, I'm Mark Kornke and I'm Donald Boettcher. You know the routine. And I'm Henry Shively. And I know Mark had no clue what was going on more than I did. And then it was such an awkward position because I had to tell Mark, Don called and he asked me to come do this hour with you. And I got to tell you though, before we start, that I took the intel report down and I told him why. And it was probably one of the, I mean, people can say what they want, probably one of the best exchanges between two patriots that's ever occurred on the goddamn radio. And we, you know, and it's continued, but I'll tell you guys this before, because we're going to keep playing music through this too. Like, I mean, to give people a chance to think. But, all through this, up till, it was about, I don't know, it's been about a couple months ago, Don on the radio, he said, "We have to fight for the Bill of Rights." And at that point, everything's groovy with me. I know those fucking fanatics are out there. And I never wanted to believe that Don and Mark, I mean, Don is just, and Mark, and I mean, when me and Spike would talk, Spike, he'd been to Mark's house, and he loved Mark, man. I would never attempt to say anything against Mark. I wouldn't do it anyway, but I sure as hell wouldn't do it to Spike Timmons. Or say anything against Don. It just, I mean, he wouldn't be my friend no more. But the bottom line here is, in the last couple of weeks, we have started we are broadcasting the intelligence report. And it's not because I found out about Don or anything. It's because Mark came up and he said, he described exactly what I've been saying, how they're trying to get us to kill each other for them, and how we have to come together, and we have to come, and Joe McNeil, you got to understand, if you wanted to call patriots to you, if you want to call people who will follow the Bill of Rights and allow you your freedom as you allow them theirs, and you want to call them to you, I wouldn't have a problem with you. But if you make this about Christians, then you're the divider. I'm not the divider. You're the divider. And that's what caused the problems over there with the people that would have backed you in the past. They were tired of not being able to talk about the things they want to talk about because it's going to be, oh, this is a Christian God versus the devil thing. No, this is an American national versus, well, it's good versus evil. I'll give you that. But it's the American national versus the international corporate mafia who has incorporated the United States into their corporate mafia and removed our rights. Anyways, people have been, like I said, playing music for Don all day. And I always spoke about, I've talked about the church I grew up next to and the reverend and his wife. We were like a second mom and dad to me. And how they would never take credit for anything that they did. They said it was God's hands. Their hands were God's hands. And Don Boettcher, he was a true Christian, man. He didn't call me to for any other reason than because he cared about me. And he didn't want me to have bad feelings towards him. And he didn't want no bad feelings from him to me or me to him. And if I would have loved to have shaked Don Boettcher's hand, I'd love to have sat at a table with him. And I'll tell you what, if ever you had a chance to look at God's hands, all you had to do is look at the end of Don Boettcher's arms. And that being said, this is the song I dedicate to Don.
These hands aren't the hands of a gentleman. These hands are callous and old. These hands raised a family. These hands built a home. Now these hands raise to praise the Lord. These hands won the heart of my loved one, and with hers they were never alone. If these hands fill their task, then what more could you ask? For these fingers have worked to the bone. Now don't try to judge me by what you'd like me be, for my life hasn't been a success. Some people have power, but still they grieve, while these hands brought me happiness. Now I'm tired and I'm old, and I haven't much gold. Maybe things ain't been all that I planned. Lord above, hear my plea. When it's time to judge me, take a look at these hard-working hands. Take a look at these hard-working hands.
And that being said, Don was a hard worker. I mean, the work he done I mean, in preparing the people. Our people are going to come together. We have no choice. And it's and we're going to have to put everything aside. I think everybody understands that, except for a handful, just a handful of idiots. And we have to fight them all out of here. And I don't know what this is about building a foundation, but no foundation can be built until the 14th Amendment is removed and the people have the will and have the authority to build. But if anybody would like to come up and talk about Don, you're welcome to. Not a word. You know that while Don was dying, you know, I was listening on the intelligence report. Because I'd called in and talked to Mark a couple of times, trying to think of different things that maybe they hadn't thought of to try to help him with what happened to him. But I'll tell you guys something that you don't know. When, I had the tumors removed from my neck. When I was first went to the doctor for those, they told me I had what Don had. That's a death sentence. So I know that the hell that, you know, he went through, you know, the first thing, when he told about it on the radio, the first thing he talked about was Debbie, his wife. And that is the thing, I mean, the things that go through your mind, it's a nightmare. But in the midst of all of this, a day or two before Don died, Don's wife, Debbie, got a call, and her son was found dead in his house. And I guess it's quite a distance. So here she is, you know, in the middle of all of this. Her husband dying. Her son dead. And it just makes you wonder, you know, I've talked about the fact that, you know, I lost my faith a long time ago. And some know the reason why. But I never lost my humanity. I never lost my camaraderie with my fellow man, with my fellow decent human beings that I live with. I've always said that, you know, if I chose my community to live in, I'd live among Christians. I grew up among Christians. Christians tend to want to be happy people. I like being happy. I enjoy. I do not understand what is this country, the abomination this country has been turned into, where people thrive on anger and hate. It's like this war we're getting ready to fight. I mean, if there was any way to avoid it and gain the freedom back, man, that would be what I would do. But there isn't. I've done the work. It isn't. It isn't going to happen that way. It is going to be so terrible that none of us can imagine it. But with this time, when we get it done, we have to make sure that never again does this happen. You know, I didn't do this for fame, and I sure as hell didn't do it for fortune. But I have one selfish motivation, and that's just my grandchildren. Because my sons are going to have to fight in this war. And it, like watching Don fall, we're all going to watch people that we love and care about are going to fall in this war. It's going to be a terrible thing, and it is of the making of negligence. I mean, a problem that was small, neglected, keeps growing and growing and growing and growing until it has reached the point to where we have no choice. We have to fight or submit to slavery. And I, for one, will never submit to slavery. And I think there's about 100 million more out there just like me that are not going to submit to slavery. And this fight is going to happen. And it is my belief, absolute, that it has to come down to the individual. The individual has to steel their mind and prepare their mind and say, I'm not going to accept one more violation. I will not accept it. I will push it until they come for me. Then I will fight my war right there. And if everybody does that, we win. We cannot be lewd this way. We cannot be lewd that way. And as far as the vote, man, I stand on it 115% now. As I found out that when the vote is cast, it is vote cast in the, by the straw man corporation. No person calling themselves a patriot can vote. Not one more time. If you know what the straw man corporation is, and you know that is how, what has been used to rob you of your inheritance as an American national, as owners of this country, and of your freedoms. All you can do, if you go participate now, it's, I mean, you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, shit, I just voted for the straw man corporation that took my freedom away, took my country away from me. And if that isn't the definition of a traitor, I'm sorry, there is no definition of a traitor. And if you can't put your differences aside and fight to have a free country where you're, every man and every woman is free to believe whatever they want to believe, I will die for your right to believe in your Christianity. I'm probably the greatest defender you'll ever find for your Christianity, because it is my first article right. And I will fight for my rights. So let's play another tune, because nobody seems to want to talk today. So we'll just go ahead and we'll see what shall we play next. Yeah, we'll just play this.
Wake up, boys, there's a light at the window. I can hear someone knocking on the door. There are voices in the street and the sound of running feet, and they whisper the word revolution. There are men coming down from the valleys. There are tall ships lying off the coast, and they dark of the night, like a whisper in the wind. Revolution. Bring my gun and a handful of silver. By the sea we will gather for the fight. It's been so many years, so many tears. We have lost once before. Now we'll sail the shore when our cannons will roar. Revolution!
Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget, never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change again. Never forget.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1242 Pacific Time. And, of course, that was Chris DeBerg with, The Revolution. The Revolution. We played that many times over the years. Anyways, back to Don. About 2 years after Don and I had our problem, he talked to Tex Mars. And Tex Mars, you know, talked to him about the Judeo-Christians. And what was really going on in this country. And Don Boettcher was a man. He came onto the radio during a broadcast, and I was listening to the broadcast, and he put it right. He said that he didn't understand. Mark Kornke, we've just been talking a lot about Mark here, as you can imagine. I mean, we've been talking a lot about Don here lately. And he said, you know, that Jack Otto was the first to start bringing Don into the reality of the situation. And he said, you know, Don was a German. He was hard-headed. And Jack Otto pounded and pounded and pounded and pounded until Don, when Don seen something and he knew it was the truth, he would not deny the truth. And so that's when he became a part of the Patriot movement. He has trained people. I mean, and Mark says he's invented things that we will not even know about until this whole thing is going down. I don't know how it's going to start, but I know how it's already started for me. I'm not going to allow no more violations of my Bill of Rights. I just won't. It should have happened a long, long, long time ago. And I think back to, like I said, 1933. I mean, when they declared that we could have no more property, our grandfathers should have fought right then and there. There should have been no doubt about it. It should have went down. But everybody, country is too prosperous. Much to lose, and that is the problem today. Because you have, I mean, Mark also admitted here just recently that these industries are there for self-interest. It isn't to bring the Bill of Rights back. It isn't to remove the 14th Amendment and bring the people's authority back and bring the people's peace back to them. It is all self-interest. And that was an admission I've taken the heat for a lot of shit. First for the military. The heroes that we were all indoctrinated to worship. And the police. We were all indoctrinated to worship the police. when I came out and said, you know, you never fought for my rights. You never fought for the Bill of Rights. You never fought for the Constitution of this United States. You fought for the United Nations to get rid of those things. You're not a hero. The ones that have been, you know, damaged by their ignorance, I call them victims, and they are victims, and I feel bad that, you know, they were conned into such a thing. But I mean, this is what we allowed. I mean, through after World War II, man, it was just everything. Even if you wanted to go out, you could have a home. I mean, you could have the American dream. And it was, and if you had any intelligence on so many people, it was just so easy to go out and just, and you know, not remember what gave you it all. I mean, what made this country? By then, we were already the federal corporation. But I mean, it was good. Everything was good, and you know, all the properties. I mean, like these people, when we talk about the ranchers, the loggers, and the farming industries. But this is all, they do not want to get rid of this corporate United States of America. Hell, it would destroy them. I mean, they controlled it. It's what brought them their wealth that belonged to the rest of us. It's how the wealth was removed without due process of the law from the rest of us and turned over to a handful. See, these are the things I would like to sit and talk to Don Boettcher about I could show him, you know. Tex Mars, I guess he had the opportunity to talk to Don in terms that he could understand, or maybe I don't know if he met personally with Tex Mars or what, or he just showed him. But this is nothing that we can't. I mean, this is prima facie, blatant in your face. I'm nobody's property. I would rather be dead than be somebody's property. So the stance will always be the same. And there's going to, and the turmoil, if there's turmoil, I tell you, it's on you. It's on you guys. It's on Pastor Brooks Connor. It's on Joe McNeil. If you want a Christian versus whoever war, go have it. And when you get done with them, we'll go fight for our freedom. But keep in mind that first article is what is your freedom. That's what gives you that. That is what protects your Christianity. That's what protects your right to believe what you want to believe, to live your life like you want to live your life, to have the rules in your castle, to live as you feel it, as you feel that you are being directed. I mean, these are the things I would discuss. And I would like to have discussed with Don Boettcher. I just, man, when I heard you know that he went a long time without telling anybody that there was a problem. And by the time I heard about it, you know, it was like I didn't want to call him. I didn't want to bother him. You know, Mark wanted people to call him and just, you know, to try to talk to him. And stuff, but I mean, I don't know what I would want to say. And you know, I did call in at the last time there when Mark was putting the phone to his ear, and I told him, I said, hey, fight's a fight, and you know that. This is a fight. And I told him to fight, and yeah, I guess he did. I guess he fought a hell of a battle. But man, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I mean, we lost a warrior. We lost a man that could hit a target at over 1,000 yards. We lost a man who is a martial arts expert who trained people. And my look at my outlook on this has always been, you know, it's just like the people are out there. I would like to see everybody trained. I would like to see everybody to be able to shoot 1,000 yards. I'd like to see everybody be able to be very proficient as possible at the art of war. And I want to talk to them, because what we fight this war for is, I mean, the last time it got hijacked, and this is the result of what we're living today. The Civil War was a goddamn lie. And you think about that, you know, as far as, you know, all of us being brothers and sisters, they had blood brothers kill blood brothers fathers killed sons. That's what they did to our people. And both sides thinking they were fighting for freedom. They were fighting to keep from being enslaved. They were fighting from ending up exactly like what we are today. That's what they were fighting. Both sides killing each other for that. There were a few filthy rich people that owned other people that really didn't have nothing to do with it. Because my people were here. My family was here. My grandfather, it would have been my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather who fought in that war. And he wasn't fighting. He didn't own nobody. He didn't own no human beings. He just knew what the plan was. The plan was to eventually that they would take all of the property, include, and then declare you their property, which is exactly what happened. There have been people all along that have known exactly what was going on. They've shouted it, they've screamed it, but as long as the comfort zone was there, people chose to ignore it because, you know, fiddle-dee-dee, I'll think about it tomorrow, has always been the mantra of the American until it comes home to roost. Until it's like Misty calling in the other day. She was outraged. Misty hadn't called in quite a while. I love Misty. If you're listening, I love you. She hadn't called in quite a while because there was this thing with the military. But I'm going to tell the truth. And the truth's going to fucking hurt because, goddamn, look what the lie has done. And the lie serves so many people in so many ways. I mean, it's beneficial to so many people in so many ways. But there's no way we come out of this with the truth. We have to come out of this with the truth. And the truth has to be based in fact. And that's the only way we can be free and guarantee freedom to our progeny. For the freedom to continue. And it just isn't in this country. This is an international corporate mafia, period. And it is international, and there are people at the very top that are pulling all the strings. Just like the con that they threw out there with you with Donald Trump. I mean, now this big, see, yesterday, I read you an article that said, he's going to shut down the border if these 400 or 4,000 Hondurans, if the Mexico doesn't stop them before they cross the border. And he was in Montana last night. I listened to a thing on the stupid box. And he was talking about, we'll deploy, troops to defend. No, you'll deploy troops to go down there to do the paperwork, to continue the invasion. At some point in the ballgame, we got to understand it's us or nothing. Go ahead.
What he did shut down is all the airspace around Houston, 18,000 feet and 100 miles around Houston is all shut down on Monday.
You're kidding me. I wonder what the purpose of that would be.
Well, his royal ass is coming.
Oh, the king is coming to town, huh? Man, I'll tell you what, I always try to look through at everything. I don't look through at the eyes. I used to worship George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, the founding fathers, man. They played that goddamn national anthem. I stood there with a goddamn lump in my throat with my hand over my heart. And what a fraud. What a fucking fraud. And I finally find out that, you know, the person I think of, the opinion that I look back to when I'm thinking about all of this and how it's unfolding, as I always think of that 16-year-old kid.
And it says, deadly force is authorized on any intrusion.
So this ain't like flying planes into the World Trade Center. You fuck with this airspace, your ass will be shot down, right?
Well, anybody with a brain knows that a plane didn't bring down a building. It might have flown into it, but yeah, they'll shoot you down.
No, I'm saying that
if you try to leave the country, they're going to shoot you down.
But as far as, you know, the planes hitting the buildings, the planes should have never got to the buildings. I mean, that's why we have a $1 trillion air force. That's, you get off a flight plan with a 757, and you give a call and say, what's going on? And you're going to get a call from the tower, a tower. And if you can't explain why you're off course, then the jets are scrambled. And, I mean, that was protocol. They were actually running exercises for that very scenario. So the planes could never get to where they could do
that
you.
They would that didn't mean they were going to shoot it down. You can't just shoot down an airplane.
Oh, yes, they can.
Well, yeah, they can, but I don't agree with it.
I don't agree with it either. But if there is, if you've got terrorists in, we all know it's bullshit, but if you had terrorists in control of a plane and they were heading it for New York City, and you couldn't get back control of that plane, if they were going to where there was a population that they could cause harm to, I guarantee you the order could be given and the plane can be shot down. That's what it was all about. That's what the training scenario was about. The training scenario was about a goddamn plane's coming in to hit buildings. So if they're coming in to, and I mean, what, 3,000 some people were killed in the World Trade Center? And you had
they weren't killed because of the plane. The plane's not going to bring down a building.
Oh, we know that. We know that. But the interesting thing is you look in and they say, well, there was 47 people on this plane. There was 70 some people on this plane. That wouldn't pay for the goddamn gas to start the son of a bitch up, let alone fly it from Boston to Washington, D.C. Now, would it? So you're looking at 40. So there's 43 people on board. You're the president. You just get the call. There's a plane that's been taken over. It's headed for New York City. 43 people on board. And it's headed for New York City. It's under the control of terrorists. And you would give the order to that plane to divert and you divert its course and turn around. You would tell it where to land. Those goddamn jets would be all over it. And if it didn't, it'd be 43 people are going to have to die to save this because it could kill thousands like it did, but it didn't. But I mean, this is just the point of it. It's all a lie.
But still, there's a chance that they could get control back or that there's no way you could hit that building without training or I think it was a robot flew it into it.
It was a robot that, the G's that it would pull. I mean, this has been gone over 1,000 times. But the bottom line is the jets would have shot it down in a real life scenario. And if that was the true purpose of the jets was to protect the goddamn country, which it wasn't. But, I guess we've got kind of off course with this because this was supposed to be devoted to Don. And we're towards the end here. I'm just going to go ahead and sign off and say I salute you, Yankee D. Thank you for your service to the Republic. And we'll be back on Monday at 12 Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, with another broadcast of the Word from the Trenches. And, let me see.
Henry.
Yes, sir.
You and yours have a good weekend.
You too, that's brother.
In peace.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, we love you, Don. We're going to miss you.
I'm